Well, welcome to our study of Numbers. We are in chapter 8, and we read the first three verses of chapter 8. And I want to just pick back up with verse 4. We're talking about the lighting of the candelabrum here. So verse 4 deals with the making of this candlestick. And this work of the candlestick was of beaten gold unto the shaft thereof, unto the flowers thereof was beaten work, according unto the pattern which the Lord had showed Moses, so he made the candlestick.
And so I think we mentioned this before, you know, the candelabrum was made of pure gold. The interesting thing is there was not dimensions given for the candlestick, but the candlestick was to be made of one piece, forged, if you will, and it was given by the weight of the gold. And so you use that particular amount of weight to get that candelabrum that the Lord was wanting, okay? And I think we mentioned how this is often today called the menorah because of the, you know, the seven tubes, the seven candelabrums. This thing was fed with oil, more than likely olive oil, okay? And we know that that is symbolic of illumination, the Spirit of God illuminating, the oil being the source for the illumination, the Holy Spirit being the source for the illumination. You can get information, but that's all it is, or you can get revelation to where you can apply the information with understanding, okay? And so Moses was told, you make it exactly like the pattern. And this really intrigues me in that Moses is the one that sees the pattern. But now he has to go down and convey to Bezalel what he saw, and then Bezalel, God has filled his heart with the spirit of wisdom, it says, to where he can comprehend Moses' vision of what he saw to the point that he can duplicate that candelabrum. That's pretty incredible when you think about it. But this is for the purpose of illumination. You understand? And when does the light shine? In the dark. What do Christians want to do? Get me out of the dark and let me shine on somebody already that's in the light. Mm-hmm. It's light on light, salt mm-hmm. on salt. And we're called to be the light of the world, not the light of the church. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. And so our light's to shine in the world. And I appreciate one of the lines in that song is, and I'm going to paraphrase it, okay, is I'm not inhibited anymore. I don't care who's standing around. I'll recognize God and I'll give God the praise he's worthy of. I'm not backing down from what I believe because somebody or government says you're not supposed to do that. Right. You can be scripturally correct or politically correct. If you're politically correct, you won't be scripturally correct. So we have to make a choice of which kingdom we're going to operate in.
Right. That's right.
But I highly recommend operating in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Go with the illumination that the Spirit of God gives you. Okay?
Very good. Verse 5, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them.
Now, this is interesting. We know that God had selected the tribe of Levi because they're the only tribe that took a stand for God. And because they took a stand for God, God selected them to be the ones who ministered to him.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Now, even though they're selected, they have to be cleansed. And actually, if you look at this and you research it, it talks about, and we'll probably get into it in the next verse, but, you know, the water of purification, I think it's the way the King James says it, and that's not what it says, okay? But what it's talking about is being cleansed, actually, the one of the words that you, if you research it, it would be atoning, an atonement. In other words, it's rendering you free from guilt. And so they're actually to be cleansed from guilt so they can minister before the Lord. How can you effectively minister before the Lord if you're guilty? If your conscience is condemning you. You understand?
Right.
And so this is ceremonial, but it's pointing to something spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That when we stand before the Lord, minister before the Lord, we should be guiltless, not guilty. Okay? And what cleanses us? We're cleansed from all unrighteousness by the blood of Jesus Christ, but if we miss it, then we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We're to ask forgiveness and to get the cleansing. Okay? So, I'll let you go ahead and read the next verse
before
I get too far
ahead. Okay. And thus shall you do unto them to cleanse them. Sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean.
So when it sounds like water of purifying, people think holy water. well, what makes water holy? It's set apart for God, okay? Now what this is talking about, if you keep all the context of the consecration process, once the tabernacle's set up and anointed, then the ministers are also going through a process before they can actually minister. And what was required is they had to wash their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
They had to wash their clothes. In other words, when you go before God, be clean. Now, obviously, in the Old Covenant, this was external, washing the flesh, external, washing the clothes. But under the New Testament, the cleansing is internal. You with me? So the natural comes first, then the spiritual. And so the natural is showing you what's to take place in the spirit. There has to be a cleansing in the spirit. Until your spirit's clean, you're not in a position to be ministering before the Lord. And so that's what this is all about. And so they were to sprinkle these Levites with the water that would cleanse them. Then they had to shave off all their flesh and wash their clothes as part of this purifying process. In other words, you humble yourself before the Lord. You understand? You think about it, especially with the man, woman, either one, shaving off all the hair of your body. God says this was a requirement. Here again, what are you doing? You're humbling yourself. You know, I may not have a lot of hair, but I'm not interested in shaving my head. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it can have an effect on you, but for the Lord. We're doing it for the Lord. That's what they're doing. They're humbling themselves before the Lord. And so when we go before the Lord, it's not our external appearance. It's what's going on the inside. We can have a pseudo-humility that's proud of being humble. Or we can have a broken and contrite spirit before the Lord, recognizing who He is and recognizing who we are in light of who He is will cause you to bow your knee. In a humility, okay?
And as far as our cleansing today, our inward cleansing, it comes by the washing of the water with the Word.
The washing of the water of the Word, Ephesians 5:26. That's how Jesus is cleansing the body of Christ. That bride that He talks about is done with the washing of the Word. So He's going to present to Himself. Now, He's not wanting no dirty, filthy bride.
That's
you understand? He's wanting us clean. But this is by the Spirit. Clean in the Spirit. You understand? And if you're clean in the spirit, the outside's going to be acceptable to the Lord, because the spirit will clean you up. You understand? You don't need religious rules and regulations to tell you what you can and can't do. I grew up in that stuff. And I can tell you right now, I may have been dancing to the music outside because I had to, or Mom and Daddy beat me. But inside, no, it wasn't clean inside. You understand? And it's like a pig. You can take a pig and you can clean him up and you can put him in the living room of your house. You turn him loose and put him outside, you're going to find the first mud hole and wallow in it. Well, that's the way it was. Until you get your heart right, you're going to wallow in the mud. You understand? So you got to get clean on the inside.
Very good.
You understand that terminology, don't you? Just humor me, okay? You probably didn't grow up in the neighborhood I did.
Verse 8, then let them take a young bullock with his meat offering, even fine flour mingled with oil, and another young bullock shall you take for a sin offering.
All right, just remember, I don't know why in the world they translated, the King James Version translated that meat, because it says flour.
Yeah.
And flour is not meat. It should have been translated a meal offering. Because it's actually a grain, mm-hmm. a grain offering, okay? And so after they're cleansed, now there's a sacrifice that they make. And here again, you understand, this is substitute. They bring a young bull with the grain offering, with flour mixed with oil, and then another young bull to be sacrificed as a sin offering. You know, Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. Who is you? It's not your body. It's the spirit, man. It's the you. The body's the house. And so this is just pointing to that. We're to present a sacrifice to God. What are we to do? We're to reckon ourselves dead. We're to be crucified with Christ. You follow me? Mm-hmm. And so what do you do when you offer a sacrifice? What do? You kill that animal. Well, that's what he wants with us. Not physically killing, but the carnality, the thinking pertaining to the flesh is what he wants dead. That's why Paul said, consider yourself to be dead, or reckon yourself dead. Okay? Then you present that body as an instrument for God. This is a tool now. I've used this tool myself, and I've allowed the devil to use it. But now we've killed that old man. And now we present this tool to you for you to use this for your glory. And that's how you should view your body, is to be used for the glory of God, not for self-gratification, but to gratify the Spirit of God.
Amen. Verse 9, and ye shall bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation, and ye shall gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. And ye shall bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord.
All right, there's some things you have to look at here, and don't throw your brains away. I mean, you'll need it, okay? When he says, to bring them before the tabernacle to meeting, assemble the entire congregation of Israel. That's one thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then he says that the Israelites are to lay hands on the Levites. Well, how many of you know millions of people cannot lay hands on a thousand in just a short period of time? So, more than likely, you have the designated elders of those different tribes that are laying their hands on, okay, representing the people. You take, like, in a democracy, we say a democracy, but how many people are making the decisions in the democracy for the mass? I think you've got about 550 people that rule the nation. But there's, what, over 300 plus million people in the nation. So I feel like this is what he's saying here. They're to offer, you understand, the Levites are part of the nation of Israel. And so they are to willingly recognize before God that this tribe will be set apart strictly for God's use. And so they will be accountable to God, not accountable to us. You with me?
Yeah.
Now there's a powerful message in this if you can handle it.
Yes.
When God sets the ministry, we'll just say fivefold ministry. When God sets the ministries who are ministers who are to represent Him, you give them to the Lord. And when you give them to the Lord, then they're accountable to the Lord, not you. But most churches don't operate that way. They don't like what the minister's doing. They blackball him and kick him out or do whatever. You understand? When you have to realize he's not yours, you gave that. That's God's problem. So when the nation of Israel is giving the Levites, they're releasing them into the hands of God to serve God in the way God wants to be served, not the way the people want them to serve. You follow me?
Yes.
And so, once they're given to the Lord, then they're the Lord's property. There's so many ways you can go with that, but you get the message. Now, even out of the Levites, only the sons of Aaron could offer the sacrifices that were presented to the Lord. The rest of the Levites assisted them in carrying out their duties. You understand, the animals had to be killed, they had to be flayed, and all this type of stuff. So there was a lot of work. They washed and cleansed and all this type of stuff. And then the priest actually offered them on the altar. Okay? And there are so many ways you can go with this, because even in the ministry today, if you're looking in the church today, there's a set person. And if it's done God's way, God will set the person, not the people. Whether it's some board search committee. What are you searching for? Why don't you get on your face before God and let God put the person in there instead of you looking? Because if you look, you're going to do it by the flesh and not by the Spirit. You understand? And so there's things to learn from this, to turn the people over to the Lord. Let the ministers do the communicating with the Lord. Now, I have to qualify this statement or people go off on the deep end. It's like the nation told Moses, listen, we heard God and it like to scared us to death. We don't want to hear it anymore.
Yeah.
You go hear God and you come back and tell us what God said. Okay? And so the ministry today is basically doing that, but that doesn't excuse the people from having personal, intimate communication and relationship with the God. You with me?
Yeah.
But you have to understand God set leadership. Everything has to have order. Mm-hmm. If you don't have order, you have chaos. You understand? Mm-hmm. So God sets the fivefold ministry for the purpose of maturing the saints to do the work of the ministry, which will build up the body of Christ. So that's their role. Now, what are they doing? If you're a teacher, you're teaching somebody. So the role of the teacher is to teach the student so the student can go out and teach somebody else. It's called spiritual reproduction. You understand how this process works. And so we have to recognize and respect positions of authority that God sets, not man. Okay? And so you recognize these things, and the key is operating in the ministry that God has appointed you. And when you look at a church setting, you look at a business setting, any type of organization, it's not a one-man show. No man's an island. Okay? In order for a business to run, there has to be all types of people. You have to have employees. What good is it to be the president of a business and nobody's working? It's not going to get you anything. Well, it's the same way in a church. It's not a one-man show. There's different members in the body, just like there's different members in your physical body, and each one has a specific responsibility. And you know, my left hand doesn't do what my right hand does. But that doesn't make my right hand more important than my left hand, or vice versa. We need both. We need every member in the body of Christ fulfilling the ministry that God ordained. You with me? And so it's to the way God has ordained this is the body of Christ ministers to the body of Christ. Do you know that that's how your physical body operates? If you don't believe it, mash your finger and see if the whole body doesn't come to its rescue. You understand?
Yeah.
The whole body sympathizes. You're going to do what you can to get this thing fixed.
Yeah.
Right? It should be the same way in the body of Christ. That's the way it operates. You can jump in here anytime.
Okay. But the problem that we have so often is that there's an intolerance amongst members of the body of Christ. Intolerance.
Oh, absolutely.
Amongst the members within the body of Christ. I think it needs to be done this way. This is the way I do it. You're wrong if you do it a different way. There's no room for that. What happens is that creates division. And if there's division, a divided house, number one, can't stand. Number two, a divided body cannot be productive. And so in this I see, I was telling Polly, I think, yesterday, about the Lord's been speaking to me about that, the intolerance. It's one thing to find intolerance outside in the world. It's another thing altogether to be intolerant of one another within the body.
It's a problem in ministry.
It is. Yeah.
Just because a person doesn't believe everything you believe doesn't mean you can't work with that person. There is a common ground. Now, obviously, we have to believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You have those basic fundamentals. But we're not going to split hairs over everything else. And we have to learn to work with people, not to be intolerant. Well, if you don't believe like I do, then I'll write you off. Or if you happen to stumble and fall, then I'll write you off.
Yeah, that's.
You look at ministries that have gotten into problems and all this, and what happens is the organization gets rid of the one that should come to your rescue,
right,
and nurture you back to health, or the ones that are kicking you and stomping you while you dance. It's often been said that Christians are the only ones that killed or wounded. And we have to learn that we're not perfect. And matter of fact, Isaac sings the song, "Drop Those Rocks." You understand? What did Jesus say? He who's without sin, cast the first stone. Now, that doesn't mean new things. That doesn't mean things aren't confronted and dealt with. What it means is the heart should be to love that person and nurture that person back to health and rescue them from the devil who's trying to destroy them. Are you with me? Internationally, and work with different ministers. And I will promise you that you will have to bite your tongue. You will have to overlook things in order to get the common cause accomplished. And there have been occasions that I could have taken offense and never show up again. And you make a choice. We have a mission. And that mission is to tell people about Jesus, tell people about the kingdom of God. And we're not going to let personal preferences get in the way of that mission. You have to tolerate people. You don't even agree with yourself all the time. Right?
Right.
And then when you get into a local church setting, I'm going to get into this, okay?
Yes, sir.
You'll find out if you're tolerant or intolerant by whether or not you talk about somebody else. If you participate in the gossip, if you participate in somebody else telling you the faults of someone else, then you are not tolerating that person. You're trying to character assassinate that person. You're trying to hurt the person. If you really have a genuine concern, then if you say your brother has a fault, go to your brother. You go to that person and you talk with that person. You don't go to other people and talk about that person. You understand?
Yeah.
We're supposed to be out to help one another, not to hurt one another. And we're to understand, but for the grace of God, that could be us. You understand? You who are spiritual, if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore him.
Mm-hmm.
Now that'll tell you, if you want to destroy him, you're not spiritual.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the wrong spirit. But if you want to restore him, it's the right spirit, and you'll go to him in a spirit of meekness, realizing, but for the grace of God, that would be me. Now, that'll make you more tolerable when you get to putting things in proper perspective. Okay.
Very good. So getting back to the Levites.
Excuse me?
Getting back to the Levites. Pull us back in. Verse 12. And the Levites shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks, and they shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for the Levites.
So once the hands had been laid on these Levites, then the Levites were to lay their hands on these animals that were to be sacrificed. Now, the significance of this is you laying your hands on the head of that animal is signifying that you're one with your substitute.
Mm-hmm.
That animal's being sacrificed, so you're one with him. You understand? This is a ceremonial setting apart of the Levites. Because these animals are sacrificed for the Levites in order for the Levites to be pure and clean before God to where they can minister before the Lord. Now, all this is pointing to Jesus, who is our substitute. So we identify with Jesus, who has done what we couldn't do because we were guilty. The animals doing what the Levites couldn't do. The animal was innocent. The Levites were guilty of sin. How is that? They were born in sin. Everyone's born into sin. David said it this way, in sin my mother conceived me. He didn't say my mother committed to sin, I was conceived. No, I was born in sin because of the original sin of Adam. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And so the innocent dying for the guilty, that's what this is all about. So they're becoming one with the one who's dying for it. We become one with Jesus who died for us, right?
And you shall set the Levites before Aaron and before his sons and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. Thus shall you separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and you shall cleanse them and offer them for an offering. For they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel. Instead of such as open every womb, even instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel, have I taken them unto me.
Now let this talk to you. Don't tell it what it says, okay?
Okay.
Moses was to stand the Levites in front of Aaron and his sons. Now, he's not going to pick them up and wave them, obviously, right?
Okay.
But he is to offer them as a wave offering. A wave offering was that one piece that was pulled out and presented to the Lord. So the Levites are being pulled out and being presented to the Lord with Aaron as the leader, as the high priest, you understand? And so in this manner, the Levites were separated from all the other Israelites. Okay? And so the Levites from that time belong to the Lord. And after this ceremonial separation, they were allowed to begin their service in regard to the tabernacle of meeting. But before that, they weren't allowed to serve the Lord in that capacity. They first had to be separated to the Lord. And once they're completely given over to the Lord, then God took the tribe of Levi in place of all the firstborn of the descendants of Israel. You understand? I think we've already looked at this, where how the Levites served as the ransom, and when they counted the number of the Levites, they counted the number of the firstborn of Israel.
Yeah.
And then the amount that Israel had of the firstborn over the number of Levites, then they had to give ransom money that was paid in to the service of the Lord, presented to Aaron, okay?
Yeah.
And so now the Levites belong to the Lord. And so they're acting as the firstborn, okay?
For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. And I have taken the Levites for all the firstborn of the children of Israel.
So the firstborn descendants of Israel, both man and beast, animals, belong to the Lord. And so if you've had cows, you had sheep, what, goat, then that belonged to the Lord. You understand? You could say, well, I'm on offer. You couldn't offer the firstborn for anything else. That's not yours. The firstborn's the Lord's. And so then he took the Levites in place of the firstborn. Now he established this when they're in Egypt, when he said, let my people go. If you don't let my firstborn go, I'll kill your firstborn. And so when God killed the firstborn of Egypt, he set the firstborn sons of Israel apart for himself. However, he took the Levites in their place. Okay?
And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the children of Israel, to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation, and to make an atonement for the children of Israel, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come nigh unto the sanctuary.
Now, pay particular attention to this. The Lord declared that he had given the Levites to Aaron and his sons as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Levites were presented to God, so they belonged to God. So God could give them to whomever he pleased.
Yes.
God gives them to Aaron. Who is Aaron? Aaron's the high priest. Who are Aaron's sons? They're priests. So God has given the Levites to the priesthood as a gift. What are they doing? They're going to serve the priesthood. The priesthood is going to directly minister to the Lord. You follow that?
Mm-hmm.
And so the instrument that God's using to atone the descendants of Israel so that there's no plague among the Israelites when they come near the sanctuary. No, you know, if you were the tribe of Judah, Reuben, or whatever, you couldn't go in and offer any of these sacrifices. You had to follow the protocol. You present it to that tribe of Levi. And ultimately, the priests are the ones that are going to offer the sacrifice. So in this case, the Levites are acting somewhat as a liaison between God and the people. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And specifically between the priesthood and the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at this, you have, to me, it's you have the staff ministry and the support ministry, okay? You have that God-ordained set ministry that's to minister before the Lord, but then it takes staff to assist that ministry so they can effectively minister before the Lord. A man that thinks he can do everything is already deceived. Just in this classroom, we're depending on other people to help us. We're live streaming. Well, we can't stand here and teach and live stream. It takes somebody else. That's their ministry. My ministry, Heather's ministry, we're teaching. What are they doing? They're doing the technical stuff. You understand? It takes it all working together to get the job done. And we have to realize that. And we all have a role to play in the body of Christ. It's just a matter of knowing what it is. It's not that one role is superior to another role.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that they have different functions.
Mm-hmm.
But if everybody's not fulfilling their function, then it's hurting the entire body. Okay? That's why in this setting, you don't hear titles. I do not like titles. Because titles separate. And so often people say, well, you know, I'm this or I'm that. Basically what they're saying is I'm superior to you. I'm over you. And so you have to call me by this name. Well, you've got to get that kind of garbage out of the body of Christ into where we're all members. Let me tell you who the head is. Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus. You understand?
Yeah.
And everybody else is under the head.
Yeah.
Okay? So my time up? Okay,
okay.
I better stop. I'll stop it right there and we'll pick back up after break. I'm sorry, Dustin, I didn't see you.
No, okay.
Okay.